You're listening to South Florida's Good News Station, WCNO, Palm City.
This is God's plan for redemption, and it's good news.
Today's broadcast is supported by Plains Dental Arts in Vero Beach and Port St. Lucie. Thanks to Dr. Alex Plain at Plains Dental Arts for keeping New Day with Rhett Palmer on the air daily at WCNO 89.9 FM.
Well, that's why I ask people, you know, like my friend, and I say, you know, do you go to church? Well, I don't really get anything out of it. So, well, it's not always what you get out of it, you know. And plus, on top of that, men need to understand that you are the priest of the household. Your number one job, by the way, is not making the income. Because even in the Bible, women go out and buy and sell land and everything, it says. It said your number one job is to be the priest. You will stand responsible for your sons and your daughters one day. Did you introduce them to the Lord? You know, train up a child in the way that he should go, and he will not depart, or he will return. And it's true, because you hear that all the time.
All the time.
Yeah, you know, I kind of believed in Jesus when I was younger, but then I got away and lived for me, and wine, women, and song, or whatever your personal story is, And suddenly, there might be somebody out there, a higher power. Like with you, well, you said you believed in God.
Mm-hmm.
Now, did you believe in Jesus or just God?
It was God. I didn't really think too much about it.
Me too. Yeah. I believed in God, but I didn't believe in this Jesus guy. And, many people don't know the story.
No, that's exactly
right. I was an adult, and no one had ever told me. Well, I'm 29 years old. I didn't know what Easter was about. No one ever told me. I thought it was about the Easter egg baskets.
I just didn't pay attention.
Yeah.
I was told. I didn't pay attention.
No.
You know what? I'll tell you, if you go to church and you don't get anything, you're not listening. You don't want to hear whatever you say.
Hmm.
You know, I'll tell you a story. I was in an AA meeting, and I was probably a year and a half sober.
Yeah.
And there's this woman in there. She was, I think, 30-some years sober at the time. And I was only a year and a half. Every time she spoke, raised her hand, it irritated me. It really did, buddy.
There was a lady in the congregation that raised her hand?
Every time she'd in an AA meeting, Alcoholics Anonymous.
Oh, AA meeting, okay.
But I cringed. I did not, for some reason, whatever she's saying bothered me, and I didn't like it. So one day, this has been going on for months. Oh, she raises her hand again. Oh,
no,
there it goes
brother.
Again. Yeah, oh, brother.
Yeah.
So one day,
of course, they say if you spot it, you got it.
Exactly. So one day I'm going home about this, and God says, well, Fred, maybe she's got saying something you're supposed to hear. And I thought, oh, my God, are you kidding? So next time I went to this meeting, she raised her hand. Rhett, I was so focused on what she was saying, every doggone word. And you know what? Was true. She had something to tell me. At that point, never bothered me.
Look at there.
You know, all because I was willing to pay attention to God talking to me in a most unlikely place, in my car heading home kind of thing, you know, minding my own business or whatever. And that taught me a big lesson.
Well, you know Hannity on TV?
Uh-huh.
Okay. Hannity the Interrupter. I mean, he even had the president on it. He interrupts, interrupts. He's horrible at that way, and a lot of people agree with me. And matter of fact, I knew his manager. His manager lives in town, so I've had lunch with him a couple times at the Ocean Grill. And I said, he interrupts. I even send emails up there, shut up and stop interrupting. Well, the reason that he stands out to me is because I'm an interrupter. And it's much easier for me to correct Sean Hannity than it is to correct me, moi. Because, you know, I've been on the radio, you know, 31 years, but I listen to my broadcast, I go, I can't listen. Shut up. I'm telling myself to shut up. Would you let the guy talk? You know?
That's funny.
Well, you know, I will say this. I don't like the way that Joe Rogan swears personally, but he is a phenomenon, so I've watched him. But one thing he does do is he has broken down the walls in that, like when he did that interview with Trump, which gave Trump probably 80 million votes. But anyway, is that he listens. And he doesn't say you got 1 hour. He said, we're going to go until it's over. It was 3 hours long. But he sits there. He asks. He listens and then can ask a question to move it along. but he doesn't get in the way of the interviewee. He listens. And also, there's the pressure being gone. It's like particularly like with me and Donald Trump, you know, there's we see one side of somebody and we may not like it in these little short clips on TV and radio. But if you give the guy a chance and actually and then people form say, hey, maybe this guy isn't so bad at all. Oh, this guy, you know, is making sense here and, you know, whatever it might be, you know. Mm-hmm. So anyway, obviously, if you're they say if you're talking, you can't hear. Did you know
that's
that?
True. That's I can't. Sure, I can't hear and talk at the same time.
They say take the cotton out of your ears and put it in your mouth.
That's it. You know, it. If I just stay out of the way, things just work better for me. You know, when I start putting my desires, my will, and
well, you in particular, you're a giving guy. You've always had a very kind countenance. And well, don't thank me. I had nothing to do with it.
True. Well, thank you for saying so.
I would like to encourage you to find a body of believers. Sit in the back. Doesn't mean you have to jump in right away. You don't have to marry these people, you know. Just because you go to church doesn't mean you have to become a member. You know, I'm the kind of guy that really doesn't join things. I'm very skittish about people.
My wife, she's not too much into it. I may go to that ocean tonight.
Yeah,
you know, because I've been there. I've been there once. A friend of mine I went to high school with invited me. I went there.
Alex is the pastor out there.
Yeah, I think so.
He's a nice man from South Africa, mm-hmm. has a wife, a daughter, and a son, and they're splendid people. I've broken bread with them.
I enjoyed the service.
Yeah.
You know, I haven't been back yet since, but I enjoyed the service. So yeah. I'll probably go check it. It's not far from my house.
And also sometimes, like, I might go out there, maybe I'm not in the mood for a lot of music. Sometimes I am, but if I'm not, then I just go 20 minutes, 25 minutes into it right before he steps out.
My only down thing that I had to the thing is that the music was like, I don't know, 30 songs or something? It was a lot. So that was a little much for me. But
yeah,
after four or five songs, that's enough for me.
Yeah, there can be a little too much repetition sometimes, or there can be a little you got to watch out. And I'm not saying this about there or anywhere else, but there are – you can get a little show busy or something. And you know, as long like, as a matter of fact, I was out there recently. I think it was it New Year's or something? What was the other night I was there? Yeah, and it was the best music I'd ever heard out there. But it led. It was really a praise, and then it stepped into a sincere worship. Should lead you into a sacredness. You know, there's people. You know, you can be in a good mood, but the Bible warns about being joyful when somebody's hurting. Weep with those who weep. You got to be very careful because you're in a hot, you know, I thought about this later in life. How many times did I run into somebody with my big mouth when somebody might have really been hurting? So you got to try to enter into a situation with gentleness because you never know what somebody's going through. And sometimes there's a place, this is particularly why I don't like music ministers, because I have been one. I've done concerts around the world, is when you start to talk. Okay, let's say somebody gets up there, oh, yeah, Lord, please forgive us for being, I'm going to exaggerate here, mm-hmm. please forgive us for stealing. And maybe this person has a problem with stealing. Oh, forgive us, Lord, for stealing or whatever, or our pride. And there's somebody else sitting there, and there's nothing going on in their life where they're stealing or there's pride. They're there because somebody died, and they're sensing the Holy Spirit is doing a healing spiritually. See, I believe like music brings us into a spiritual relationship of the holiness of God. Let the whole, you know, sometimes you don't need the words of man. Like, mm-hmm. you've ever noticed Billy Graham? Now, do you have YouTube?
Yeah.
Okay. So have you ever watched a Billy Graham little preaching there? You run into
those?
I've
seen, yeah, I've watched.
Okay. Now, here's what remember I told you I got to interview him. He was the humblest, kindest man I've ever, ever, ever met in my entire life, I believe. Anyway, when you see him preaching, now he's supposed to be the greatest orator, one of the greatest orators that ever lived in the world and had an amazing ability. But he never spoke over like 25 minutes, 27 minutes. So if you're a pastor or someone in leadership and you're going on and on, sometimes I go into a church, thinking of different churches I've been to, and like I'm trying to get this information, and then they go on so much, and now I forgot what I learned at the beginning. It's like less is more. The less you say, more people will remember. It's brevity that works. You know, it's like the story of the guy that was at Gettysburg Address. before Lincoln. He spoke for 1 hour, blah, 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 mm-hmm. blah, 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 blah. Lincoln gets up there, and it was 2 minutes
mm-hmm.
and spoke. And that man actually said, wow, that man said what I was trying to say in an hour, he said in 2 minutes. Brevity. And Lincoln said, the world will not long remember what is said here today. And that's one of the most famous speeches of all time. How about Winston Churchill? Now, you've got the male ego, well, female ego, whatever ego, whoever you are and whatever you are. You get up to a commencement program. Well, this is my one time. I'm going to tell you kids how to live, what to do, and take this. Now, for the moment, satisfaction of your ego, you could do that. Winston Churchill gets up in front of a large group. I'm not sure which university, if it was the British School of Economics or whatever it was. It doesn't matter. Anyway, he gets up there and says, don't quit. Do not quit. Don't quit. Do not quit. And sat down. That's all he said. But you know what? Who am I quoting now? You know, almost 100 years later, 80 years later, whatever it is. Who am I quoting? I'm quoting that. Because if he'd gone on with a bunch of blah, 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 blah. So I just admonish people, that look at what Dr. Graham did. Now, if he is one of the greatest orators of all time, cut it back. I know you're in love with your voice. Be careful being in love with your own voice. I have to worry about that.
Just like me. Business, yeah.
Blah, 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 blah. Anyway, so, well, the Bible says, in a multitude of words, there is sin. Be slow to speak and quick to listen.
Mm-hmm.
That's well, all
I'm,
in the scriptures.
Well, I'm a believer in that. You know, every time, so many times I'll open my mouth and just stick my foot right in the middle of it before I even.
Now, once again, in case somebody's just tuned in, very briefly, got 1 minute left. You started drinking at the age of 16, and what brought you? What finally, you know, got you to come
fear.
To a program?
Fear. I was afraid that I was going to continue on with that drug, and I knew that the alcohol was not doing anything for me. And that was the primary reason that I went to look for the other drug, and so I came in
and the Lord delivered you miraculously.
And I got on my knees in the morning, got on my knees at night, morning. I asked him to remove this session, thanked him in the evening, did
so
that
you,
straight.
So you surrendered.
Absolutely.
You did it straight
everything.
For what? For
probably 3 or 4 years, at least 3.5 years, getting on my knees. I still do it. Yeah. I just don't do it like I did at that time. It was every day.
It was a surrender.
Correct.
There's something about the surrender of saying, and perhaps wherever you are, ladies and gentlemen, today, you, whoever listening, maybe it's time, pull that car over or go into your closet alone, fall to your knees and say, okay, you're God, I'm not. You know, I can't do it. He can. I think I'll let him. I'm Rhett Palmer. It's a new day. Fred Popple, thanks for coming
thanks,
in
Brad.
Here.
Thank
God
you,
bless
man.
You.
Glad to be here.
Tune in again Monday at 3 a.m., 7 a.m., or 3 p.m. I'm your host, Rhett Palmer, and this is A New Day.
Is Alzheimer's or dementia affecting your loved ones? Alzheimer's Treatment Centers of America has a dedicated team of experts that actually treat these terrible diseases. They have over 50 tools to address root causes of cognitive decline. In the study of the protocol they use, 75% of patients had no further decline in their mild cognitive impairment. Alzheimer's Treatment Centers of America is now open in Port St. Lucie, online at ATCA.ai.